Welcome to another episode of Backstage, the Bachata podcast, where we take artists and people from the dance world and we take them obviously backstage and talk about things that we usually wouldn't talk about. My name is Jan.
And my name is Lucy. And today we will be discussing why there are so few men following in the dance scene. With us today, we have Benjamin Jago from Cornwall in the UK, who is an incredible lead and follow. But Benjamin isn't following only for women, though.
Absolutely not, would be my answer.
And why is that?
Because I do it, and I identify as a guy, and end of the story. If there's one person doing it, then, you know.
All right. Because, you know, if we look into the dance world, generally you see men leading and women following. But we are starting to see much more women or many more females leading or learning to lead in the dance scene, but not so many men switching their role. Do you think that men lead and women follow because of gender roles?
Absolutely. I think that's definitely a big part of it. I think that the unfortunately, the dancing world, and especially bachata and kizomba, where the dances are so intimate, that there is definitely some sort of machismo still in the dancing, and that it's very much like guys lead and are strong and powerful and don't show emotion. They have to be cool. They have to, you know, they have to perform in that way. And then it's like the absolute opposite at the other end of the scale, where women have to be super sexy, super beautiful, just follow. And I think that that's a shame. And I think that is slowly changing. And probably as a reflection of society is also changing and becoming less extreme in that sense. But that it's just, from my feeling, taking quite a long time to change. But we are seeing it more and more.
It is slowly changing. Slowly, sure. But surely.
Yeah. Well, I think it's maybe interesting to say that we're in the Netherlands right now, and that's where I do the majority of my dancing. So that's where I see the majority of the dancing. And that a lot of people have this idea that, you know, the Netherlands is really open, everyone doesn't care about this sort of stuff. And actually, unfortunately, the Netherlands has been one of the closed-minded places when it comes to this sort of thing that I've seen. I mean, I've danced in quite a lot of places just in Europe then. And I still very often see that in the Netherlands, it's very much like if I'm dancing with another guy, or even if two girls dance together, that's like everyone in the room is watching. And you go to Spain, you go to France, you go to Portugal, and you get that feeling of being invisible again and being anonymous. And, you know, you can just go and dance with people and it's not like everybody's watching, because it's way more common there. Whereas in the Netherlands, that seems to not be the case, unfortunately.
No, I agree. Not yet. Well, I agree. I mean, I can only agree from what I see as well. I don't have that much experience with it. I do lead a bit. I am learning how to lead. But I feel that when women lead, it's more accepted than when a man follows, which is really unfortunate, like you said, because I don't see why that should be a problem and why people should find it a problem.
No.
But I do think it comes back to the whole gender role of, you know, how you said men are masculine and following is much more or is seen much more submissive and not really as though you're not doing too much.
Yeah, which absolutely isn't true for anybody listening, thinking about that. Like, take it from me, that is not the case.
Why is that? Where does that come from, that people think like following is, you know, air quotes, just following, and the leader is the one who puts in the work?
Yeah, I mean, I think to a very certain extent, it is true. I mean, a guy is having to think of which moves he's going to do. Well, sorry, this shows how deep the terminology goes. You know, this is a lead has to think about the moves and think about what's coming next. Whereas as a follower, you're completely, well, the goal is, you know, to completely give yourself over and just be sort of like used, air quotes, for the dance. And so I understand where people who think like that come from, but I just think that's a very black and white and a very sort of naive way of looking at it, because both parts are very different, but there's just as much work. And actually, I think it's much more psychological work dancing as a follow.
Yeah.
Because I know if I think, oh, I'm just going to lead this evening, then I'm not worried about what I look like. I don't really care about what clothes I've got on. I don't really care about that, you know, I haven't been to the gym for a week. But then if I'm going to go and I know I'm going to be mainly following in a dance class, and I'm like, oh man, what if people think this? What if that? What if that? And so there's a much more psychological and emotional thing mm-hmm. to following that it, when I lead, that just isn't present.
Yeah. And what is your preference right now?
I don't particularly have one. I mean, I do the majority of the dance classes as a follow mm-hmm. because the leading I can pick up really quickly. Without wanting to blow my own horn. Like I find it easier to pick up, you know, I can go onto YouTube and thanks to Bachata Passion, I've got a really good grounding in technique. So then I can just sort of watch a video on YouTube and think, okay, but how am I supposed to do this? And it sort of works. Whereas following mm-hmm. that's something that I've noticed that I have to keep sort of refining, keep working on, keep mm-hmm. working on, because you lose it really quickly. And mm-hmm. that sort of always searching for connection and that sort of stuff, that those concepts are lost very quickly. So that's why I do the majority of dance classes.
And how did you start now?
How did I start?
I mean, let me rephrase that. Like, which role did you have when you first started?
Right. So I started as a leader. Mm-hmm. And I think the funny thing was back then, I didn't even consider that I would ever have permission or be able to be a follower.
Yeah.
And so there's me as a gay man, and I've identified as gay all my life. And suddenly it's like, even with that sort of different mindset or different background, then I'm still like, oh, but this is such a sort of, and I hate using this word because it puts a lot of people off, but heteronormative world of, you know, man strong, woman weak. These mm-hmm. are, it's so fixed. But then I started dance classes and I really loved the dancing, but I never considered I could be a follower.
You didn't think it was an option.
No, exactly. And if they'd have said to me, do you want to lead or do you want to follow? Or do you want to dance with girls or do you want to dance with guys? And obviously I'd have been like, I want to dance with guys. And I want to follow. But that choice is never given because it's just assumed that it's going to be guy, girl, man, woman the whole time.
Yeah.
So really in the beginning, it never crossed your mind.
No, it legit never crossed my mind. Oh, and I'm really sad about that because I danced for like a year doing 3-4 times a week bachata at various dance schools. And now I'm like, oh, so much wasted time. and I mean, it made me into a fairly competent lead, which I'm happy about. But I just wish at the time I'd have realized that it also didn't need to be so black and white, mm-hmm. that yeah. there was that yeah. flexibility. Well, the yeah. possibility for that flexibility yeah. was there because not all dance schools are so open to it.
And when did you like have that realization that you can, or you could also start dancing as a follow? Or was there like a specific moment?
Yeah, there was. After about a year of dancing, I went with a show team and we did a performance in France, in Marseille. And just in one of the, like on the night of all the professional dancers, just before we were on the second night and the first night, I just sat and watched all like the professional couples and shows and stuff. And there was like the MC was doing all this crazy stuff and he did this like mega homoerotic dance with this one other guy who his story was that he'd been in the music video with Shakira and that he was jealous that he didn't get to dance with that guy. And so that guy came on stage and they did this like mega, like super, not even just sensual, but full on sexual mm-hmm. dance with each other. And I was just sat there and I was like, okay, well, this is way too far. Like mm-hmm. sexually speaking, I mean, it's obviously just for show and to make the audience laugh. But then I was like, oh my God. And that was when this like door went open in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, it's possible. Like guys literally have the ability to follow. And up until then, it never crossed my mind. And this is another one of the things I noticed is in France, when we're at the socials, loads of guys were dancing with guys and it was really normal.
Really?
Yeah. And that was super cool that I was just like, oh, you're allowed to do that here. And then there's this one guy that I followed on Instagram because I really liked how he danced. And I got in touch with him and I was like, yo, can I ask you for a dance? Because I was way too nervous to just write, go up to him and ask him. So I messaged him and he was like, yeah, of course. So then later on in that evening, I like built all my courage up and I asked him to lead me. And that went atrociously because then I still had this thing of like, oh, if I can dance bachata as a leader, I can dance bachata as a follower. And, you know, mistake number two.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, he was trying to give all these things, like to signal all these things like head rolls and body rolls. And I was just like, girl, I have no idea what you're trying to get me to do. And then I led him. And I think this is when it really, well, there were two moments. When I was following, there was this one moment where we made eye contact, like just in one of the simple turns, and he just smiled really sweetly. And I've struggled a lot with my body image, with my mental health ever since I was a kid. And there was just this moment when I was like, yo, this guy who doesn't know me, I'm dancing with him and he's smiling at me. He's not judging me. He's not thinking I'm too fat. He's not thinking whatever, like, because really from he was just so open that that was actually then a real turning point for my own mental health of like, yo, the voices in my head really are wrong about a lot of things. And so that was a really important thing. And then in the dance after that, I said, he went to leave and I sort of like grabbed him and I was like, no, wait, can I lead you? Can I lead you? And then I led him. And I remember leading him and he was like, he was an awesome follow as well. And I was just like, yo, this is what straight people experience. Like this connection, this vibe. And like this other dude was straight. So there was obviously nothing was going to happen, but there was a certain sort of tension in the same way that if I lead and I dance with a follower, a female follow, that sometimes there is also that, you know, with some people, there's just a certain spawning. There's like a connection, electricity, and you feel it. And then I had that with this guy as well when I was leading him. And I remember I just led him into a dip. And then I was just like, yo, this is what straight people experience. And that was just like, I was like, yo, I understand why guys want to dance with girls and girls, well, straight guys want to dance with straight girls and straight girls want to dance with straight guys, because that's such an amazing feeling. And I occasionally, you know, it's nice if I'm dancing with followers who are friends of mine who are girls, but it's just never the same as when there's that sort of, that electricity in the background. And that was, those were the two moments that really changed it. So that France weekend was like, that Congress was a real turning point for me. And then I came back to the Netherlands and I was really bummed out because I was like, yo, I've just been in France and now, you know, people don't do that here. I'm going to have to spend all my time and my money on going to all these different places where that's like allowed to do, where people are okay with it. And then the next day I was like, you know what? Nah, man, I'm just going to start that here in the Netherlands as well. And then after them, basically, I did every single lesson since then as a follower, unless I was filling in for one of like the lower levels. And then I bit of a wild card, like follow or lead. But that was when it all really changed. And like a year after I'd started dancing properly.
That's amazing. It makes me really happy just listening to this. I'm just smiling and
good story.
Hurts. Yeah. I'm really happy. Yeah,
thank you.
But do you think the leading actually helped you in your following?
Not technique wise, but from a sort of human view of like when, I actually think it's the other way around. I think having followed, then I realize what I like when leads do, like if they make me feel comfortable, if they smile, if they, you know, there's like a whole long list. And for me, the biggest thing is that security of like that they're in charge and they know what they're doing. And if they've got that confidence, like they're like, yo, I'm killing this dance, you know, like I'm on this. This is an awesome dance. If they've got that feeling and they're making eye contact, they're open, they're smiling, then like as a follower, then I'm like, oh man, I'm so sexy because he's giving me that chance to like, to shine, air quotes, as it were. You know, he's giving me that feeling that he's safe, or that they are giving me that feeling that they're in, they know what they're doing. And then that gives me that same feeling of, oh, I know what I'm doing. So then I'm also more like, how'd you say that? I go more for like my styling. I go more for like playing around because I'm like, yeah, okay, we're at a certain level. So I don't think that being a lead helped my following, but I think that following made me so much better as a lead, not technically, but just because now I'm like, okay, I know that I like it when people smile, when people are open. And before I found that really intimidating. And now I'm just like, okay, you know what, whatever, I'm going to do it and smile. And, you know, it's up to them. If I'm making too much eye contact, they can say that to me. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not going to not make eye contact because I'm scared that maybe the follower thinks I'm weird or that I'm into them or whatever. And so that's the effect it had on me. And that's also why I would suggest it to a lot of guys, to every guy who's in the dance scene, is to follow, because you learn so much things that they can't really teach in classes, because it's about 100%. Like that feeling what did you feel? And that's so individual.
Yeah.
But that's an amazing thing to discover as well. And it gave me so much more confidence in my leading.
Yeah. That's what I think is very weird. Like, I've danced as a follow, you know, just like a couple of times. And right. I have to be honest, most of the time it was just, you know, we were in a good mood and, you know, maybe there was some alcohol involved as well. Yeah. And, you know, I was with my good friends. And I have to say, like, mostly when I dance with a guy, it's either like someone that I know really well already that is like a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But what my point is that I find it so weird that we don't do this more often. And I'm especially looking at dance schools. Like, why do we not just like reverse roles in a class? For me, I learned so much from dancing as a follow. And I think the hardest part for me was when I tried on salsa one time.
Oh. My God. That's a whole other ball game.
I'm telling you, I had like a good evening. I was dancing as a lead and I was super confident and everything. And then I was dancing with one of my friends, like actually, like she's a teacher. So it was like, she was leading me. But man, I was sweating so much. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. And that's when I formed like much more appreciation for like the art or the craft of like following.
Yeah.
And that's something that you will never be able to understand unless you feel it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You need to understand, or if it, I guess it makes you a better dancer and you know what your skills are and what you're giving to your, for example, follow as a lead. If you go into their shoes once, you know,
exactly.
You try it out, see what it is like. And also, you know, for follows, why not try lead once? Then you also mm-hmm. know the other side of,
for sure.
of the dance. And I mean, I think, you know, you can actually then understand what you're doing more and what you want, like you said.
Exactly. And I think that two things, I mean, what you said about salsa, I was going to say that earlier when you said like, you know, people sometimes have this thing that following is easier. And then I'm like, yo, go and dance one
Fuck
salsa
off.
Song.
Absolutely not.
Go and dance one salsa song as a follower and then tell me it's easy. Because if I lead salsa, I dance with loads of energy and mm-hmm. I sweat after like three dances. After like 30 seconds of being a follower in salsa, then I'm like ready to die.
You know, all those spins you gotta do?
And then, but the spins, it's
and
insane.
Then there's one thing that you like maybe mess up and it puts you under so much pressure.
Yeah.
Because the leader is just expecting me to follow everything. Mm-hmm.
But it's also really fun just from the other side.
It
like
is
I'm
really
gonna say
fun.
As a follower in salsa,
I didn't
it's
have fun.
Great.
No, it's awesome and I love it, but it's just, you know, that it is not easy.
No,
you really
no,
have to know
no.
what you're doing and you have to own.
And you have to let go. As a follow, the thing is, it's pretty intimate, right? Dancing is very intimate. You said kizomba and bachata are very intimate. But as a follow, you have to let go and trust the mm-hmm. stranger you've never met before to lead you, you know, to keep you safe, to keep you comfortable in a very intimate dance, you know?
Yeah.
So it is quite hard. I mean, from this perspective, that it's something I don't feel leads have to do. They don't have to let go of themselves fully.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was wondering, what do you do when someone is not being so open-minded about mm-hmm. dancing with you, for example, as a follow? Why do you think they're so uncomfortable?
There's one thing I want to say before we head on to that question, because there was, I don't want people to think it's like us bitching up against leaders, because there's also a lot of followers who I know who I've spoken to who have been actually kind of crazy judgmental about the leads. And then they're like, oh, you know, this guy, he doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do blah, blah, blah. And it's really bitchy. And that's definitely something that I have noticed it very quickly. It just sort of, oh, don't dance with that guy because he sweats a bit too much, or because he does this, or because he does that, or because they do that, because they do this. And the thing is like, it's not just that leads get a lot from following, but that gives an empathy wise from followers to leaders that then
definitely
they're
agree.
Like, yo, that is so difficult.
It
That's
is.
So much harder than I ever imagined.
No,
and
sure.
So I think both ways you absolutely benefit from it. And I think it's good to make that a point that it's not just, you know, guys are rigid and masculine and they might be intimidated to do it and that should change, but not also for followers or for women, then to also step into those shoes is a really important thing.
Yeah. I think. Like, but if there's so much value in that, why is that not
it's strange,
a common
right?
thing? Or
exactly.
Especially again, like looking at dance schools.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be interesting to see reverse
I mean,
classes.
I'm not trying to get like men to dance as a follow if they don't want that, you know,
just
that's totally fine.
Out.
But I think there's so much value in just maybe do like one class per week as a follow. There's so much value in there.
You
I mean,
learn
like
so
I,
much.
Definitely.
Like for me, I have to be honest, like dancing as a follow, and I do it like very rarely. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like, it's more like a means to an end because, or maybe that's because I just don't enjoy that yet. I don't know. That's maybe a whole other point. But what I can clearly see is that there's so much value in it. So, and by that, I mean value in making me a much, much better leader.
Yeah.
So why is that not something that we do on a regular basis?
I mean, I think dance schools more and more are doing it. I mean, I see dance schools that are occasionally doing these switch lessons, mm-hmm. but maybe that's like once in a season, you know,
but it's and better then it's than like, nothing.
And it's you know, it's anything start. Is better than nothing and it's a start. And, you know, I think when I first danced, you know, as a follow, then I was like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I love it. Mm. And so it's, I think that's the other thing. It's not like that guys have to love following or that girls have to love leading. It's just that occasionally doing it has loads of benefits.
Yeah, but that can then also lead, you know, like to just occasionally doing it at a social.
Exactly.
And that's how you start to break all the norms.
But like you said, you know, because we're not wanting to bitch about one or the other here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have a lot to learn from either side. Both have things that are easier and things that are harder.
Absolutely.
When I started learning how to lead, that's the first thing I said to all my friends who are leaders. I was like, man, how do you guys do this?
Yeah.
You guys need to, you know, make her feel comfortable, keep a frame.
Remember,
you know, musicality, remember figures, lead them properly, give the prep. Don't forget the prep. Don't crash into anyone. Do your own styling. Let her shine. I was like, it's so much.
Yeah.
it's just different though. You can't really compare the two. And that's why I think reverse classes or, you know, just trying it out. You don't have to dance that way if you don't want to, but trying it out at least gives you such a big insight into
Absolutely.
It. And, yeah.
And your question was...
Yes. So my question was, when you have... what do you do when you come across someone who's not so open-minded about you dancing as a follow? Yeah, how do you deal with that situation? Why do you think they feel so uncomfortable?
I think it's important at this point just to like subtitle that this is like my experiences and that as a gay guy, that I think that's going to be very different experiences to follows who are straight.
Yeah.
Because I know that...
I'll come back to that later, yeah?
Okay, yeah, no, interesting. I had real problems with it when I first started dancing because I very often felt like if a guy didn't want to dance to me, like theoretically, like in my head, I knew that, okay, I don't need to take this personally. This is his stuff that he has to deal with. But it like hit me so hard as like, they're rejecting me, they're rejecting my sexuality. And so for a long time, I didn't really know how to deal with it. And I couldn't really, you know, make it all right. I couldn't really deal with it. I think that's the thing. And I think that was why for a long time going dancing was really hard trying to find like my place in the dance world. Because it was a real love-hate relationship. It was like, I loved dancing with people I already knew. But then I also felt like I don't have the same privilege that straight people have where I can go and ask somebody who either dance is really good or is attractive or, you know, they dance really sexily and I want to experience that, that I never had that privilege of like being able to do that because I was always like, okay, if I ask this guy, is he going to punch me? And I think that's a thing that not many people realize is like that it's not, for me, speaking as a gay man, that the dance scene doesn't feel safe. And I think that is something that people need to be aware of and that needs to be addressed. And I think that was why it was so difficult because it always came as like an attack on me and my sexuality when people were like, oh, you know, I don't want to dance with you. I don't dance with guys. And even just saying I don't dance with guys, to me, that comes off as still to this day, it comes off as homophobia. And I don't really know how to marry the two things that at the same time, everybody has a choice. And obviously, you know, if you don't feel comfortable dancing with somebody, then I never want somebody to dance with me because they pity me or because they're forcing themselves to do it. Because you're going to feel that in the dance,
yeah, of course.
You know. But at the same time, it just to me seems like, and I'm weary of doing this in my head. This is very much my own opinion. You know, 100 years ago, black people weren't allowed to dance with white people, and people. I can very easily imagine saying, oh, I'm not racist. I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like, okay, so I'm not homophobic. I just don't dance with guys. And that's always to me how that comes across. And then I'm just like, hopefully in 50 years, people will also be saying, yo, you can't just not dance with him just because he's a dude. Mm-hmm. Or you can't not dance with her just because she's a girl. Like just because you, and that responsibility will be really more actively put with the people that they themselves have a problem with it and not the person who is then asking for a dance, for example. And the thing is now, how I deal with it, I guess, I know who my friends are, like, and I know who I have good dances with. And generally, teachers don't afweisen. Teachers don't reject you.
Yeah.
Teachers don't say, I'm not going to dance with you. I mean, I have had it happen a few times at congresses from teachers.
Well. And artists. I was about to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And that really? Drives me bonkers. Because
dancing because in your dancing in your local scene, that's where you have your friends. But
yeah.
I'm actually shocked.
That's different at an international festival, right?
And yeah, and absolutely. And that it makes me angry because I'm like, you are the ones who are supposed to be setting the example for everybody to look to. And then it also comes back to the thing. I don't want, you know, him to force himself to dance with me, but at the same time, not dancing with me because I'm a guy. Then I'm like, if you do it, that makes it okay for everybody in my local dance scene who does it. And that's
not really okay.
That isn't really okay. No. But I know that it in that way, I mean, I still get really scared whenever I ask an artist or a dancer to dance with me, a teacher to dance with me. But at the same time, that's a lot less scary because I know the risk of rejection is a lot less lower than if I just ask a random guy at my dance scene. And
wait, the risk of rejection of asking whom?
An artist.
An artist. So if I go and ask an artist for dance, the probability that he's going to say no is, well, like 5-10%.
Compared to a regular guy.
Yeah, and really? If I go to a regular guy,
this
then
just sounds
I'm
ridiculous
like
to me,
80-90% that I'm going to get rejected. I mean,
oh man.
Is that your rejection rate?
Yeah.
Really?
I get rejected a lot. And
like in the social dance scene?
Yeah, just in social dance.
Like even just here, like in the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that makes me really sad. And that's why I'm like,
makes me really sad.
I have to know who my friends are. And so for example, like I dance with Jan a lot, you know, and I'm like, I know I can dance with you. And that, so then it's like, and this is really whenever I go to a social, I'm like, how many people are going? Who I know that I can
That's
dance as a follow
think
with.
About?
Yeah,
this is before I'm going.
Before a social.
Yeah,
which should
like,
be, you know, for fun and
exactly.
not stressful.
And then I'm like, how many of my friends are going? Because dancing with girls are fun, but that's not the same, you know? So it's nice if a few of my friends who are going who are girls, because then we can lead and I know there's a certain connection. And generally that connection I only have when I'm good friends with a girl. And then I'm like, how many of my friends are going or how many people who are guys who are happy to lead me and who I'm going to feel safe with. Because it's also, it's not just if I get rejected, but there's also even in the Netherlands been cases where I haven't felt safe to leave the club afterwards because people have been giving me like stink eye the whole evening because I'm dancing as a follower. So safety also does come into it quite a lot. And yeah, and that's comes back to this love-hate thing that I think so few people understand that as a gay guy in the dance scene, that's, You're busy. You're thinking about very different things than what straight people are thinking about, and I think a lot of people don't realize that privilege that they have because they don't need to consider other things. And I'm not saying that it's easy because obviously everybody has their sort of horror stories and the things that they had to overcome with dancing, and that's what makes it so beautiful. But I think there's just not enough people talking about LGBT in the dance world, and I know I have so many friends because I went bachata crazy when I first started and started doing classes every day of the week and everything. And so many of my friends who were gay or lesbian, they were like, I love it. I love the videos. I love it when I see you dancing with guys, but I don't feel safe enough to go into a class and dance and to put myself in such like essentially what it came down to was they were like, I don't feel safe enough around straight people to go into a dance class. And I think that's so sad. And a lot of my friends have been like, yo, I have so much respect for you because you do it. And I would never be able to, I would never dare to do that. Mm-hmm. I would never put myself in that situation.
And do you know a lot of male followers here in the Netherlands? Because honestly, I don't know many here.
2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, the definition is also tricky because like, I know I dance with Jan. And so then does that count as a follower? Yeah, okay. Do you know what I mean? But people who are like,
okay, maybe who primarily see themselves as a follower, like you see yourself more as a follower than a lead, right?
I know nobody else apart from myself who is primarily a follow. I've got a lot of, I've got friends. I've
Me
got,
neither.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of friends.
No, I
was going to say
don't
a lot.
Anymore.
I have friends that I know I can dance with and they can follow pretty well. And then that really makes my evening, because I don't do following because I only want to follow. Like, I do following because I want to dance with guys, and a lot of the time they don't know how to follow. So then I'm like, okay, so I have to follow, because otherwise I don't get to mm-hmm. dance with people that I really want to dance to and actually be able to like sensually express myself.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get into the head of like a guy that just doesn't like dancing with other guys. I mean, the reason, like if I look at it like very black and white, the reason then is that like the reason a guy dances with a girl is because he's sexually attracted to girls. Like mm-hmm. that's it, right? I mean, in my mind, that can be the only reason why a guy doesn't want to dance with you. And that means that they see dancing as something but sexual.
I think that is part of it, that when I get rejected, and then, I don't know, it's hard to talk in broad mm-hmm. brushstrokes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
this
is what makes it such a...
It is a really difficult
a tough discussion yeah. because, you know, it's very much my experience. And, you know, even if there was another gay guy who had been dancing the exact same amount of time, he can absolutely have had a completely different experience. But there's definitely that of, I think, sometimes guys go into it thinking, I only want to dance with girls and I'm doing this to be close to girls. Then obviously, like logically, they're not going to want to dance mm-hmm. with a guy, because they're not doing it for the dancing. They're doing it for intimacy
yeah.
in
reasons.
For intimacy reasons.
Yeah. yeah. Which is okay
but
as
not
well.
Everyone's like that. Yeah. Or at least I'd assume there's a lot of
people. Well,
you don't know. Because you have also girls who might start dancing because they want to get into contact with guys.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I still kind of hope, I guess, that the most of the dance scene is, you know, we're in it because whether we're male or female or whatever we consider ourselves, you know, to be or what we feel like, that we're in it for the dance,
yeah.
you know, so it doesn't matter who you're dancing with.
No,
yeah,
absolutely.
But those experiences for me show exactly the opposite.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, what you're saying,
yeah,
like being like rejected 80 or 90%
right.
of the time, to yeah. me, that says that the majority of the guys, they only want to dance with people that they're sexually attracted to. And
yeah.
I was posting this on Facebook in a group. Like I was just asking, like, why do you think it is that only like, yeah, a few men dance as a follow? And then one reply was very blunt, but I think it was a woman who said, yeah, she's called Val. I don't know if I pronounced that right. She said, because they think it's gay and they're not trying to dance, they're trying to pick up women. I'm just going to say it how it is.
Yeah. I think that is partly it. And also what we said right at the beginning of like sort of society-wise that, you know, men have to be strong, and then people view, it's a different type of strong doing following.
Yeah.
Like I said, psychologically, you have to be way more confident to do it and to do it with any sort of finesse or passion or to let yourself go. And that just seems generally not to be so much appreciated when guys show sort of emotion or when they show like
yeah.
that
yeah.
sort of stuff. So I think it's also that also does come into it.
Yeah.
And I think also is like another thing that it's not, I mean, it's not all bad. That's another thing I want to say. I think there's also a lot of misunderstanding, which I guess hopefully this podcast helps to address. That I was at like my local dance venue, and there was this guy, and I'd seen him quite a few times. And I said, I got all my courage up and I was like, hey, should we dance? Fully expecting him to say no. And then he was like, oh my God, you want to dance with me? Dude, you are so good. That's why I've never asked you. And then he was like, have you never asked me because you thought I didn't want to dance with you? And I was like, well, yep. And he was like, no, man, I only didn't dance with you in the same way that I don't ask the teachers or artists, because
yeah.
like I watch you and I'm like, yo, he is like fire when he's on the dance floor. And now you're asking me.
And that's how it's supposed to be.
And that's how it's supposed to be. And I think that was also a very important for myself to like, I had a very negative sort of, you know, of course I sort of had a negative view of asking guys because I get rejected so often, that then when he did that, it was like,
Yeah, I mean, dancing should be, you know, like, it's not the, like we said in the beginning, males are stronger, females are submissive, but it's more of
yeah.
a cooperation.
It's yeah, two but different it is, energies.
But it is very interesting. But it is very interesting. And I think that's for me also, like I'm usually a guy that I would say, like, I don't know, I'm maybe like more emotional than your average guy, as in like, I also don't care or like care less like how other guys perceive me, but like something. For example, that's what I wanted to mention earlier. I was at a congress one time in Germany, and the first workshop of the day was like an open level workshop. So I decided, okay, you know, why not? I'll just do this as a follow. And I could feel it right away. Like everyone thought I was gay, like 100%, maybe not everyone, but let's say like the big majority. And usually, you know, I'm a bit used to that already because, you know, I'm dancing and all my like non-dancing friends, you know, just perceive that as a bit of, you know, something, I don't know, gay, I guess. Also, maybe that's especially related to like sensual bachata where, you know, like you move more and in different ways than, I don't know, maybe salsa or whatever. But in general, I would say still there's like in society, there's still that, I don't know, like notion of, you know, like a man that dances, you know, is most likely gay.
Which is so ironic because if you look at the sort of stuff you're doing with a guy and a girl and how sensual that is.
Yeah.
And then you're doing that with like 40 girls in an evening because you're just dancing with all your friends. I mean,
when you put it that way,
isn't it ridiculous that people think there's still the stereotype that dancing is gay?
But the thing is like, that's just because they just judge based on how it looks.
Yeah.
I mean, and I have to tell you, I was guilty of that myself as well, especially when I started like in the early days, I saw some like male dancers. Like just like normal artists, like leaders, male, and the way they were moving. And I was like, I was just wondering in my head, like that made me like, that triggered my thought, is he gay? And there was like one guy in particular where I was just in my head, it's stupid, but I was convinced he's gay just because based on what I saw. And I was even dancing already for 1.5 years. So go figure how other people look at that. And I cannot even blame them.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Because that's
But I think it's really brave of you to come out and say that because I think so, like everybody has this sort of learned sexism and learned ideas on homophobia and everybody has that. And I'm also guilty of this. And I think the important thing is to talk about it. You know, if I see a guy that occasionally I'll see people and I'm like, yo, he is super feminine. And I'm like, no, hold on, wait, why do I even have this thought? He can be as feminine as he wants to be. And then I'm like, this is so ironic that I'm, you know, out there asking for like acceptance for people and like, you know, really being like, you know, guys can follow. And then I still have these thoughts. And I think the important thing is it's not like I can't change how I was brought up and in the society I grew up in. And, you know, like sort of like inevitably those thoughts are going to be there. But the important thing is to just be aware and that when you catch yourself with those sorts of thoughts that you can sort of stop yourself and say, oh, well, hold on, but what's wrong with that? I mean, everybody has masculine and feminine energies. And if anything, it's so interesting watching people with more masculine energy follow a more feminine energy lead. Because if I look at some of the leaders with way more feminine energy, that's how I've learned so much of like sensitivity also in leading.
Okay, I want to hear an example. I think I have one in my mind.
Go on.
No, I want to hear an example from you.
Of?
Like an artist that is leading with so much.
I don't feel comfortable saying that. To the listeners.
Oh.
Well, no, I mean, I just,
But we're talking about like a female lead.
No.
Oh, sorry, I got that wrong.
A male.
Oh, right.
Male lead who has a lot of feminine energy.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I got it wrong. No. I thought like a female lead that puts in so much of her like female energy into the dancing. Because for me, also, someone that comes to mind, there's like Gatika, for example.
Yeah, for sure.
Like when I watch her lead, it's just, she's dancing unlike anyone else.
Yeah. And that's what's so beautiful. You know, it's so like eigen. It's so individual.
Yeah, so
like
your own.
It's so And I think that's a beautiful thing of watching that these sort of we have these stereotypes of leading and following and then watching somebody who completely breaks those stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Like
I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's because of what society has been brought up in, let's say what we've been all brought up in. So it is harder to move away from the stereotypes. I mean, like we talked in the beginning, when I started dancing, I didn't think I had a choice either. It just, you know, you just naturally go to your default due to your gender role. It's kind of like, oh, this is how it is.
This is what's expected of me, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I also, for the first time when I saw a girl leading or a guy following, it was quite far into already my, let's say, dancing journey.
Right.
And I think part of it is possibly because we always say males and like females or men and women, but we don't say lead and follow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, by already maybe starting to change that, I see some schools changing it.
Same.
Saying leads and follows, because then there is no gender behind it, right?
Exactly.
I think these kind of small things, if society in general, if people started focusing on, and you know, when we're talking, says lead and follow instead of male, female, girl, woman, I don't know, you know? I think it would already make a huge impact on how people entering the newcomers coming into the dance scene would actually perceive dance and the roles.
There's actually a beautiful video of this by, I've never met the guy, I only follow him on Instagram, so I hope I get it right, but it's Tiago, the Not Just a Pretty Dancer. He's a guy that dances a lot as a follow, and him and his dance partner, they did a video on the sort of the importance of calling it lead and follow. And that's just a really beautiful way they sort of, they play the same thing twice. They split the class, and the first time is like men and women. And then they like, obviously these two guys want to dance with each other because they are attracted to each other. And then they never get the chance to do that. But then because they're like leads and follows, then one of the guy goes as a follow, and then they do get to dance with each other. And it's just a really beautiful film. So it's nice that that is also being put out there. You know, it's not just me, like, which is important to keep remembering.
Fair. But I also think a lot of the times with in the lead and follow world, we do have more follows in the dance world because because women follow usually. There are a lot more women in the dance scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a reason I think a lot of women started leading so that they don't need to stand on the side at parties. It's also partially why I started
so
leading.
Yeah.
Because I want to dance when I'm at a party. And if you're at a party with so many girls.
Imagine it would be the opposite. More guys dance than girls. What would that
cost?
Well, the interesting thing is, I think this is also a very interesting discrepancy that you get in dance classes, that follows and girls are way more used to it. And I know a lot of dance schools that say if there are not enough followers, the leads leave because they're so not ever having to used to wait. So they get frustrated that, you know, there's three more leads than follows. So then they have to wait, you know, when they change round, they have to wait way much more. And then that's also just like, check your privilege. Like that, you know, you guys never have to deal with this. And then it very quickly is like, they get super frustrated with it. And it's like, this is what it's like for the followers all the time. But it's not the only time that I've heard, you know, someone say that's part of the reasons why I started leading was because I also wanted to, you know, not have to wait out every second or every third dance, but, you know, could also just dance for all of it. Like, and I think a really nice thing that comes back to terminology, there's one teacher who I know who, he doesn't even use lead and follow. He just uses the name of the person he's giving the lesson with. So then he'll be like, oh, so if I'm doing this, then Lucy's going to move her head this way. And then you know, they're like, oh, and if I do this, then Jan's going to do this and do that. And I think
they
don't actually give a role at all. And I think that's just the nicest way of doing it. It's so human. And when he mentioned that to me, I was just like, oh, man, if I am ever in front of a group of people giving a dance lesson, then that's how I want to do it. And not even have this concept, just absolutely not at all, but just like having the name of the other person.
And he did this consciously.
Yeah, like absolutely.
That's really interesting.
And that was even before I'd started following. So this was just a thing that he had all his time just from himself had decided to do, which was really nice.
I wonder if it would be more accepted, you know, to talk about these things, how I'm sure there's so many people who feel really awkward maybe, or not for maybe for different reasons, just because there is these two very distinct roles and you feel you have to be in one of them by default. And if you tend to want to lean to go to the other one or do the other one more as a primary dance, or even just to try it out, you feel like you can for actually mainly external reasons, right? Because you want to do it, but you just stop yourself because of everyone from the outside, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if this could be changed in the near future, you know, like what are the things other than, you know, not saying men, women, but saying, you know, follow lead or not even that, like you just said, but what other things could help, you know, reverse classes, maybe at festivals, if it would be more, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there was a video from the Blue Carpet Gala. That's the name of it, right?
Yes.
By Bachata Fashion in the Netherlands. And last Christmas, Pablo danced with Junior.
Man,
I saw
that video was
so
awesome.
So
it was
good.
Such a good video. And I must have got that video sent to me legit like 40 times by different friends who were like, watch this. And you sent it to me, you know, like, and that was so cool.
And there's one of Pablo dancing with you as well.
Yes, there's one of me dancing with Pablo on YouTube so nice. As well, which was,
Wow.
I guess which is really cool. But like, and I think, you know, if artists dance with each other, then, you know, they're the people that people do look up to. And so I think if there's more on their own Instagrams of, oh, I just did a class as a follow. Oh, I just did this. Oh, I just did that. Then that can really change.
Yeah,
I 100%. Think that is also a really good like.
And I think they just show that, you know, it's just like at the end of the day, it's just a dance, you know?
Yeah.
And that you can enjoy dancing with another guy and it doesn't have to be sexual at all.
In the same way that I can enjoy dancing with girls.
Exactly.
I mean, I've never felt really sexual attraction to a girl.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I dance with girls, then you have this feeling that, you know, the dance finishes and I'm like, yo, that was sex standing up. And there's no sexual tension, but there's really, it's so sensual and you connect so like beautifully with each other that then you just walk off and you're like, yo, if that was my only dance for the evening, that's all I needed it.
Yeah.
And I have that with girls. And I know that some guys have had that with me as well. They've said in the past at like a congress, I asked this one guy to dance and afterwards he was like, yo, that was the best dance I've had all weekend. Thank you so much. And it's like, there was nothing sexual about it, but you connect, your energies meet each other. And if that's in tune, if that's in sync, then you have a beautiful dance.
Yeah.
And it, regardless if you're a guy or a girl.
Yeah. I think it takes time. It takes like everyone plays their part. Like the artists play their part. The dance schools are playing their parts. Maybe organizers are playing their parts. Everyone participating, in a class.
Yeah.
But
I think
it cannot just change like that. But I think like you said before, like maybe in 50 years or something like that.
Who knows? Yeah. That's
hopefully
the thing.
Sooner.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's sooner because I would love that I could go with my LGBT friends to the dance class, and it very quickly becomes political in the minds of people who aren't particularly for it. I mean, if you walk into a dance class. And a lot of the time people don't mind me being in the dance class, but if there was four follows who were girls and four follows who were boys, then how would people enjoy that? That's something that I always think as well. So like if I can go with three of my three other gay friends, but then are people going to start saying, is it a gay class? And is that going to put leads off?
Okay.
And so it's really tricky. Like, you know, I don't think there is any clear-cut answers as like, this is how we should do it. Because it's a problem that is really, well, it's not even a problem, but it's a concept that is really just being introduced for the first time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're having to discover it each time. And some people are more conscious of it than not. Some people are having these discussions and some people are still choosing not to have them. But for example, I've been to some congresses where they've, I've said about it and they've said, oh yeah, we have somebody who is there for LGBT people. So you can go and like talk to them. He was like, here's my number. You can get in touch with me if there's any problems. And I've also, you know, at other congresses had a similar thing and said, oh, well, you know, there's two transgender people at our dance school. They've got my number. Here's my number. Like if there's any problems, call me. And just having that support made me feel so validated because it is terrifying, like going to a congress because you're like, okay, all my friends are going to be wanting to dance with new people because that's what congresses are for, right? They're going to want to dance with the artists. They're going to want to dance with new people. And then I'm like, am I going to be able to do that? Am I going to have the confidence? Am I going to feel good enough in myself? Are there going to be people there who are open enough to dance with me? And then just having that sort of reassurance, like, you know, LGBT people are welcome here. And people even just like on an email before the Congress saying, please be aware that some guys are dancing as follows. Some girls are dancing as leads. We ask you to respect that. Even just by putting that like simple thing in a paragraph.
Makes the whole world's difference.
Makes such a difference because people know.
Organizers listening.
Beforehand. Yeah, no, but legit, because this is the thing. Yeah. Like as a gay guy, if I come to your congress is like, do I feel the support? And if I don't feel the support, especially if it's in a country where there is not such a good reputation for LGBT rights, you know, this is why I don't so quickly go to congresses in Eastern Europe, because I'm like, how is that going to be culturally? Yeah. But, you know, I've been to one or two because I have had this thing from organizers saying, you know, we're here for you. If there's any problem, get in touch with us. And just knowing that, then I'm like, okay, so I can go here. I'm welcome here. But even, you know, the ones in Western Europe where I'm like, okay, socially, it's a lot more accepted.
Then.
And that's the thing. Then all my friends are like, oh, let's go here.
We have the privilege of doing that. I've never thought about it that way.
No,
that's
me neither.
Never crossed my mind that, you know, I can just be like, okay, let's go here.
Yeah.
But usually a festival is like something you look forward to.
Yeah. And then you have to not only worry about social dancing like locally, but also on a larger scale. If you go to festivals.
And also even like if one of the guys beats me up because he has a problem with me afterwards, if I go to the police, are they going to treat me fairly? So it's not even just the rules. It's like also it's you're so at the mercy of like certain individuals. Do you know what I mean? And that's the thing. Yeah. Like I said, even in the middle of the Netherlands, I've had not felt safe to leave a venue. And I'm like, okay, but in the Netherlands, if I ring the police, they're there quickly and they're chill and I get all the support because the Netherlands has a specific department called the Rose in Blau, like pink and blue. And it's like LGBT police, essentially. But that's not very common. And so if I'm in a different country that doesn't have a good track record, then I'm like, okay, but if something goes wrong and the organizers haven't given me that reassurance and I'm like, I don't know how society in general treats it, then I'm not going to be going, even if all my friends are going. And that sucks. That is really painful to be having to do that. So that's why going to Congress is a big, big thing for me. And once again, I want to say that other gay guys may not have any problems with this. Some guys, you know, maybe more straight looking. Some guys might not even consider this and they say, you know, oh, I just have too much anxiety. But there's a lot that goes on in my head when I'm trying to plan these things, you know, which I think straight people don't have the empathy for, because that conversation isn't very often being had because there's still so few gay people in the dance world. And then I have these sort of discussions and I'm like, well, go figure, because it is a love-hate relationship. It's hard, you know.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
Hopefully people that are listening in, regardless of if they're artists, regular like hobby dancers, organizers, whatever, like we hope you got just a little more insight and
just have those conversations.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, don't be scared of it. And a lot of the time people don't have these discussions because they're scared of coming off as ignorant or being homophobic. And I'm like, as long as you can ask anything. As long as you ask it politely, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of guys, I feel like they're scared to ask things. And then after a time, once we've been talking, they're like, actually, can I ask you this? And I'm like, okay, that's a pretty homophobic ideology.
Yeah.
But they're not responsible for that. And at least they're having that discussion. So, you know, have this discussion, guys, because that's the way it changes, you know.
Agreed.
Or if you're too afraid, listen into this podcast first.
Absolutely.
and then ask the question. All right.
Thank you both so much for having me. It was really fun being here.
It was good to have you.
It was really, really great having you. If people would like to find you, follow you somewhere. Also, Benjamin is an incredible singer. I'm just going to put it out there. He is amazing. So highly, highly recommend you check it out.
Thank you.
Where though?
Where? I do weekly Friday concerts from 8 till 10 Dutch time. And you can check that out by searching for Benjamin Jago Larham, JAGOLARLARHAM, or just going to Ben Jago Larham on Instagram. And that's just music. And my personal one for dancing is BJago, which is BEEJAYGO.
We're going to put all of them in the show notes on Instagram, Facebook.
And can I ask a little?
I've got all day, guys.
Can I ask a little favor?
We have a concert tonight, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I've planned it enough time.
This is a very small favor. Instead of me or Jan doing an outro asking, you know, to listen into the next episode, would you like to sing it for us? An outro?
Lord. I thought you were going to say my BBC voice.
No. Oh, that would have been funny
also,
too.
You can also do your BBC voice.
I can do both?
You can do both. You could start with the BBC voice or end.
What do I have to say?
Anything along the lines of, thank you for listening.
Like and subscribe. Mm-hmm. Review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And follow us on Instagram backstage.podcast.
That's really long.
I would just say,
let's see
thank
if I can
you
get it.
For listening.
I'll go for the BBC voice first.
listen in next time. You know, next, we hope to catch you on our next podcast episode.
This was Jan and Lucy with the Bachata podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your viewing. If it would help us greatly if you could like and subscribe and leave a review on Apple.
I love it so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And that now singing.
Yes. Yes. Please.
I'm just looking and seeing Lucy like with these big eyes.
I don't know
like,
if these microphones work for singing, but go ahead.
Let's try it. This is Jan and Lucy with a Bachata podcast. Tune in next Friday. It's Friday, right? Next Friday for another episode of Backstage. Have a great week and see you soon.
Ah, I love it. Thank you.
Okay.
That was amazing.
That was the best end we ever had.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You guys are really
much.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. And thanks, everybody, for listening.